ever had one of those like moral dilemmas, the kind that really eats at you, you know?
Yeah.
And then after like years, you completely flip your view.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, that's kind of what happened with Supreme Court Justice Blackmun when it came to the death penalty. Specifically this case, Collins v. Collins, back in 1994.
Interesting.
Yeah, it didn't actually overturn the death penalty or anything, but it did expose like some serious flaws in the system. And a lot of that came from Justice Blackmun's dissent. It was powerful stuff.
I see.
So today we're going to do a deep dive into Collins v. Collins. We'll unpack the whole thing, the facts of the case, the legal arguments back and forth, and why this case, which might seem kind of ordinary at first glance, is still so important today.
Yeah.
We're looking at court documents, legal analyses, the whole nine yards.
Got it.
So whether you're a lawyer, a law student, or just someone who's fascinated by, tough societal issues, understanding Collins can give you some real insights into the death penalty debate, how judges interpret the law, and that constant push and pull between justice and mercy. What's interesting about Collins v. Collins is that it wasn't a landmark case in the traditional sense, right? The Supreme Court denied certiorari.
Meaning they decided not to review the case itself.
Exactly. So what made it such a big deal then?
It all comes down to Justice Blackmun's dissent. That's what turned this seemingly routine denial into, well, a cornerstone of death penalty debates.
Okay, so let's back up a bit for those who might not know the case inside and out. Can you set the scene for us? Who was Bruce Collins and how did his case end up in front of the Supreme Court?
So Bruce Collins was convicted of capital murder in Texas back in 1980. He robbed a bar and tragically killed a patron during the robbery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Collins went through all the appeals he could at the state level, then federal, but nothing worked. His death sentence stuck. And when his case finally reached the Supreme Court in 1994, they decided not to hear it. Seemed pretty standard, legally speaking, until that point.
And that's where Blackmun's dissent comes in.
Right. And here's the twist. Justice Blackmun had actually voted to uphold the death penalty before, but in Collins, complete 180, he wrote this incredibly powerful dissent all by himself, and it really shook things up.
What made him change his mind so dramatically?
He argued that after 20 years of trying to make the death penalty less random, less arbitrary and more fair, he'd realized something kind of devastating. He just didn't think it could be done.
That's a heavy statement coming from a Supreme Court justice. What were the issues that led him to that conclusion?
He laid out some really troubling problems. Things like persistent racial bias when it came to sentencing, limitations on habeas corpus reviews, and the fact that even with safeguards, you could still execute someone who's innocent. Basically, he was saying, we keep trying to fix this machinery of death, but it's broken at its core. And his words, they were powerful. He said, from this day forward, I no longer shall tinker with the machinery of death. Some of the most impactful words ever written in a Supreme Court dissent. It wasn't just about Collins, it was about the death penalty as a whole.
So he's saying all these attempts to make capital punishment just and fair were failing.
Exactly. And it resonated. Big time. It became a rallying cry for people who wanted to abolish the death penalty completely. And you still see his arguments today in challenges to things like death penalty protocols, sentencing disparities, wrongful convictions. It's like he saw it all coming.
It's amazing how one dissenting opinion can have such a lasting impact, on the legal landscape.
Yeah.
We're focusing on Blackmun here, but what about the rest of the court? Did anyone else have strong opinions on this?
Well, Justice Scalia, huge supporter of the death penalty, he wrote a concurrence. He directly addressed some of the stuff Blackmun brought up.
Oh, interesting. What was Scalia's take?
Basically, he said the Constitution clearly allows for capital punishment. The problem, in his view, wasn't the death penalty itself, but the court's own rulings, which he thought were all over the place, confusing.
So he's saying the court was making things worse.
Pretty much. Scalia thought they should defer to legislatures on capital punishment. Trying to get rid of arbitrariness, but also allowing for individual stuff in sentencing, he saw that as a recipe for disaster.
So you have these two giants, both making strong points, Blackmun saying the system's broken, Scalia pointing the finger at the court's interpretation. Fascinating clash, really.
For sure. And at the
It
core of it all is this huge question. Can you actually have a death penalty system that's free of bias, guarantees accuracy, and still allows for mercy on a case-by-case basis? That's what Collins v. Collins makes us really think about.
A lot to unpack there. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think we should look at the impact Collins has had since 1994. Blackmun's dissent, it didn't just fade away. It's still shaping legal arguments and discussions about the death penalty even today.
All right, so we're just getting started. This is shaping up to be a really insightful deep dive. So we're back. And I'm really interested in this whole idea of the lasting impact of Callens v. Collins. You know, Blackmun's dissent, it really felt like a turning point, almost like a touchstone for challenging the death penalty. Did it have that kind of effect right away, or was it more of a slow burn?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because his dissent didn't suddenly, like, make the death penalty unconstitutional or anything. It wasn't that kind of instant shift.
Right, right.
But what it did do was give a lot of fuel to the fire, so to speak, for lawyers, activists, anyone who wanted to, you know, reform or maybe even abolish capital punishment. It became part of the conversation in a big way.
So how did that actually play out? Like, how did Blackmun's arguments about, say, racial bias or habeas corpus or even executing innocent people actually change legal strategies and policy?
His words, they had this real power to them. You started seeing them everywhere. Legal briefs, court filings, policy debates. It was like he provided a framework almost for going after the death penalty from all these different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he laid out the main arguments, highlighted the flaws, and did it so clearly and convincingly that it's become, you know, a go-to source for anyone challenging capital punishment.
Can you give us some concrete examples? It sounds like he was almost predicting some of the stuff that came later in death penalty law.
Oh, absolutely. Think about all the debates around lethal injection, for example.
Yeah.
States have had a really tough time finding a method that everyone agrees is humane and reliable. You've got botched executions, legal challenges to the drugs, this whole back and forth about whether different methods are constitutional or not. And it all goes back to what Blackmun was talking about, cruel and unusual punishment.
So he kind of saw that this search for a humane execution would be this ongoing struggle.
Yeah, like it might not even be possible to find one. And then there's racial disparity in sentencing. Study after study has shown that if you're a person of color, especially Black, you're much more likely to get the death penalty than if you're white, even when you factor in other stuff about their cases.
And Blackmun was all over that in his dissent. He saw racial bias as, like, baked into the system, making it almost impossible to apply the death penalty fairly.
Exactly. And that issue hasn't gone away. It's still a huge flashpoint in death penalty discussions.
And then there's the whole issue of DNA evidence exonerating people on death row. That's got to be one of the most powerful arguments against the death penalty in recent times.
No doubt. These exonerations, they often happen after someone's been wrongly imprisoned for years, even decades. And it just underscores what Blackmun was saying, that even with all the safeguards we put in place, mistakes happen and innocent people are at risk. It's a chilling thought.
It makes you realize how high the stakes are. It's not just some theoretical legal argument. It's about people's lives. So, circling back to Callens v. Collins, what would you say are the most important and lasting impacts, especially when it comes to the law?
Well, first of all, it's had a huge influence on legal scholarship. Blackmun's dissent, you see it cited everywhere, law review articles, books, legal opinions. It's like required reading for anyone studying the death penalty and its constitutional implications.
So it's shaping how future lawyers understand the issue,
yeah,
not just the arguments in court.
Absolutely. But it's also having a real practical impact on litigation and policy debates. Like we were saying, Blackmun's arguments are being used to challenge everything from, you know, lethal injection to racial disparities, the whole spectrum.
And it sounds like his dissent may have even played a role in how the public feels about the death penalty, right?
It's hard to say for sure, but I think there's no doubt that his words helped people see the flaws in the system and be more open to other ways of dealing with crime. Even though support for the death penalty is still high in the U.S., the conversation has definitely changed.
It's interesting how Blackmun's own personal journey, you know, going from supporting the death penalty to seeing it as fundamentally broken, mirrors the way American society has been thinking about it. It shows he was willing to really think about it, you know, the moral side of it all.
And I think that's what really connects with people, that he was willing to change his mind, to say, hey, this isn't working the way we thought it would. It shows a kind of humility and a commitment to justice that goes beyond political lines.
Yeah, that's a good point. It makes you wonder, if someone like Blackmun, with all his experience, comes to that conclusion, does it mean there's something fundamentally wrong that we can't just fix by tweaking the system a little bit?
That's the question that hangs over everything, isn't it? Like, if someone like him decides the death penalty is flawed, can we ever really make it work the way it's supposed to? Can we find that balance between justice, fairness, and mercy?
Okay, so we're back. And that question we were talking about, is the death penalty system really broken? Blackmun's dissent in Callens v. Collins, it really makes you think about the whole thing differently, you know?
Yeah, and it's important to remember his dissent didn't just come out of nowhere. It was like the result of decades of legal battles, changing attitudes in society, and more evidence that things weren't right with the death penalty.
Right.
So Callan's was a big moment for sure, but it was part of a much bigger picture, historically speaking.
So there was already this feeling that something wasn't quite right with the death penalty, and yeah. Callan's just brought it all into focus.
Exactly. The court's own decisions on capital punishment, they'd been changing ever since Furman v. Georgia back in 1972. That case actually stopped executions across the whole country for a while. The justices in Furman, they were really worried about how inconsistent and, well, random the death penalty seemed to be.
So after Furman, states had to go back and change their death penalty laws to try and fix those problems.
Yep. But those changes, they just led to a whole new wave of legal challenges. Defense attorneys argued that even the updated laws were still open to bias and error. By the time Callan's v. Collins reached the court in 94, there was already this huge amount of legal precedent and debate about whether the death penalty was even constitutional.
So Blackmun's dissent wasn't like some radical new idea. It was more like the culmination of years of people wrestling with these really complex questions about justice and punishment.
Exactly. And that's why it had such a big impact. It put into words what a lot of people were already feeling, you know, that no matter how hard we tried to make the death penalty fair, it just wasn't working.
Which brings us back to that question we keep coming back to. If a Supreme Court justice thinks the system's broken, can it be fixed at all? Or is trying to find a perfect death penalty system just a waste of time?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's still being debated today by legal scholars, policymakers, basically anyone who deals with the ethics and laws around capital punishment. It's a really tough one.
No easy answers, then.
Yeah.
But I think what Callan's v. Collins does is it forces us to face some uncomfortable truths. It makes us think about what we really want our justice system to stand for. And it asks if the death penalty, the way it is now, can actually live up to those values.
Absolutely. I think that's a really important contribution to the whole discussion, even if the case itself doesn't give us clear answers or a roadmap for what to do next. Sometimes asking the right questions, getting people talking, that's just as important as having all the solutions.
Well said. And I think Callan's v. Collins has definitely done that. It started a conversation that's still going on about the death penalty, about the limits of our legal system, and about what justice really means. We might have more questions than answers, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It encourages us to think more deeply, more carefully, about one of the toughest issues facing our society.
I totally agree. And it shows how crucial it is to keep examining, debating, even disagreeing with in our legal system. It's through that process of questioning and challenging that we can hope to create a more just and fair society, even if it takes a long time and it's a complicated journey.
That's a great point to end on. This has been a fascinating deep dive into Callan's v. Collins.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot, from the specifics of the case to the bigger philosophical questions that Justice Blackmun's dissent brought up. I hope this has given you, the listener, a better understanding of this complex and really important case. And maybe it's even given you some new questions to think about. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.